and Father in heaven, we give thanks and praise to you for who you are. You are our God who works your salvific purpose in us, and your promise to do so, and the promise of your presence. And you speak to us in your word, and you speak into our hearts, and we are so grateful for that. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to transform us, as Paul says elsewhere, from glory to glory. We thank you for your great mercy, compassion, patience, grace, and your steadfast love. May each one here come to see and understand and appreciate your steadfast love more and more. Build us up, O Lord, in the faith. Be our strength and a shield about us. And we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, on behalf of Joe, Joanne's nephew, that as we lift him up to you, you know what needs to be done, and going through chemotherapy, we pray for success, that you would be pleased to do what needs to be done in his body, and that isn't even the end of it. Then there's the potential for surgery. And so, Lord, we lift him up to you, and that according to your name, you would have compassion and mercy and be gracious to him and upon him. Lord, we lift up our missionary of the week, Joanne Pittman. We thank you for her and her years spent working in China and about China, and we thank you so much, Lord, and to ask that you would continue to uphold her and lift her up and sustain her in the work and the ministry you have given to her for your glory. And as we turn our attention to your word, we ask again, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts, encourage us, and build us up through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you and haven't already done so, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to read verse 23 through chapter 11, verse 1 this morning, and I invite you to follow along. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it, for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. And may the Lord bless his word to our lives this morning. You got your running shoes on every day, even when we're out of these chapters. Every day you got to put your running shoes on because you're in a race and you're on a course, a particular course that the Lord has given to you to run for him and his glory and to run to win. We've looked at a few things in the last few weeks. We looked at common cause and running the race in 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. We looked at common cause in self-limiting liberty, laying down our rights for the sake of the gospel in 15 through 23. We looked at common cause in light of Israel, in light of that phrase, lest I be disqualified. And we looked at the pattern of Israel, and we are not to crave evil things as they craved. And then last time we looked at the idea of developing common cause in fleeing idolatrous situations. Flee idolatry. Flee the idea that you would place anything or anyone above the Lord our God. And as we continue to think about this passage before us, there's two qualities that mark every believer, and I have said this before, and I will say it again. The first is to honor God. What was the problem with humanity? Well, Romans chapter 1 tells us, and I think it's Romans 1:21, where they did not honor God, although knowing God, they did not honor God as God and give him thanks. And as a result, their foolish hearts became darkened and so forth, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible for an image of the corruptible. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature, the created, rather than the one who created everything. Two marks of the believer. And from this flows a third mark, which is fidelity to the truth. And not just, so let me be clear, not what people call their truth, my truth. This is my truth that I live by. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the truth of God, the one who is the truth, Jesus Christ. We embrace him, his standard, his way, and the course that he has set us upon. Beloved, the Lord loves his people. And we talk about his faithfulness. He loves his people, he loves you, and he has set his name upon you, and he has set his love upon you. And he is faithful to his promise, the promise of his presence with you and in you, and the promise of the protection of his salvific purpose in you. To complete that. And as he's completing it, you're running the race. You're in a marathon. One foot after the other, continuing to go along your course in life. And so we respond to our Lord who sets his love upon us. We love because he first loved us. And so we in turn love the Lord our God. And we endeavor to faithfully walk with him as he always remains faithful to us, faithful to his word of promise. And as we think about what's in the text this morning, we're going to look at it in terms of concerns that Paul has, that We need to concern ourselves in three ways. That is, what benefits others, being gracious, and we need to concern ourselves with what honors the Lord, what honors the Lord. So first, we look at what benefits others. In faithfulness, we concern ourselves with what benefits others. So we come to that text, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. I hope you catch that. Too many people this day and age say, what? Well, I can do whatever I want to do. But it's not always helpful. All things are lawful. I can do whatever I want to do, but not all things contribute to the building up of others. And so, in this portion, that's what we're concerned about. We're concerned about faithfully following our Lord and running our race and doing things that are helpful and build up. So we focus on what builds. What is easier to do? Tear down or build up? Do you need much of a plan if you're tearing things apart? And no, you just need a nice big hammer or whatever it might be. And swing a few times and it's destroyed. It's torn apart. Get a nice saw. Cut it all apart. A lot easier to tear down. Building does what? Well, it takes a plan. I got to be thinking about the other person. I got to be thinking about how I can contribute to this other person's well-being. What can I do? What plan might God have for me to help someone else, you see? And we build on that cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ, the foundation. And we build with the right kind of materials. And the church, then, is built up in the faith over time. Now, this isn't in your notes or anything, but I am going to say something that I think is accurate and that we need to make note of, is that the world of Islam understands this. They understand it better, I think, sometimes than we in the West understand it. And they have children. And they teach them. And they indoctrinate them. And they show them the way. And all of these things about Islam. And what is happening? Well, a lot of immigration. And what do they bring with us? Or with them? Well, they bring their worldview with them. And built within that is an inherent conflict between the Christian worldview and the Muslim worldview. And they are in conflict. Now, politically, there are things that I suppose there are things we can agree on and such. But in terms of an overall worldview, they get this. That their faith is built up over time. They tend to think generationally. Another worldview, communism, materialistic naturalism, thinks generationally. And we tend not to think that way. And we need to think that way. We need to think long-term, generation after generation after generation. Because the church is built up over time. Now the church has certainly grown. And in terms of numbers, you know, over a billion, maybe 2 billion, if you add Catholics and Protestants together, of population in the world. And it needs to keep going, but we can't forget about Our own sphere of influence. Okay, that's kind of an aside. But it has to do with building over time. Right? Building over time. Think about if you can remember, I'm taxing your memories, way back in chapter 3. And Paul talked about the foundation he laid, right? No one can lay another foundation other than what was laid, Jesus Christ. And now we're building on it. And how you build on it, what you put in place is very important. Are you building with gold, silver, precious stones, those things that are not so readily available, that you have to put some effort and time and so on and planning and whatnot with the whole thing? Or are you just using wood, hay, and straw? Things that are readily available, things that seem easy, things that you think, well, I can make this nice and solid. And then it rots and then it gives way. And the Lord wants us to use the right kinds of materials. And so I might add to that, the easy way is not always right or the right way. Liberty in Christ means freedom to do good. All things are lawful for me. All things are lawful for me, but not everything's helpful. Not everything builds. We're free and are set free in Christ to serve a new master. We talked about that last week. We have a singular master now that we serve. And we're free to do what benefits others, genuinely benefits others. And so we need to guard ourselves. Why? Because, well, not everything is helpful. Not everything builds. And so we focus, we seek, and may we seek to focus on what builds up and not what tears down. And focus on your neighbor's good. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Now, I know the response, well, if I don't focus on my own good, who's going to focus on my good? Well, that's where your neighbor comes in. But it doesn't mean that you don't do anything that is good for you. That's not what he's saying. So he's saying, let no one seek his own good only. Maybe even primarily sometimes, but the good of his neighbor. Sometimes, can I use the word inconvenient? Sometimes it feels inconvenient to go out of your way to do something for someone else. It's true. But we do it. Why? Because we know it honors the Lord, pleases him, and it is a benefit to my neighbor. It is a benefit to my neighbor. And so we want to develop the mind of Christ in these things. That attitude of the Good Samaritan, right? Look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Philippians chapter 2. Embrace the humble attitude of Christ. Humility. Humility will get you so much farther, or further, I think the word is, so much further in life and in dealing with others than if you were to constantly demand your rights and I didn't make any mistakes, you made the mistakes and you need to make this right. Instead, a little humility, right? That says, maybe, I'm really sorry to bother you about this, but I still don't get it. And this is what I'm seeing on my end, and I don't know what. And you know what? People are so much more readily wanting to help you. But if you come with an adversarial tone, what happens? Well, they begin to be adversarial. Reminds me of a proverb. Quiet answer turns away wrath. Right? A little bit of humility will go a long way. Humble attitude of Christ. You imagine he is the only one who could have asserted his rights. The only one ever, who ever lived. And he just didn't do it. But instead he looked after the interests of you to accomplish God's salvific purpose. And so he took that form of a servant unto death. And so we embrace that attitude of the Good Samaritan to be the neighbor who shows mercy. We ask the question, who is my neighbor? Well, the one beside us on the road to life. I used to do deliveries all over the cities, and I had a route, and it took me literally everywhere in the cities, just about. And one day, and it's timed. You know, you can't drag your feet too much. And you gotta be at such and such a place at this time, between this time and this time, and you'll pick up and you'll go here, you'll deliver, you'll pick up something else that goes here and so on, and you're coordinating everything. And I don't know if I was reading something in the scripture, but whatever it was, there I am driving down the road, and I think I'm beginning to come into St. Paul or toward St. Paul, and I see this poor gal on the side of the road with a flat tire. And I think, and she's struggling. And I thought, she needs help. So I pull up behind her and I said, do you want some help? Yes, please. And off I went, changing the tire, getting her set to go. I think you're good to go. Put everything in the trunk, shut it. Got back in my car and off I went. And if memory serves, I made my next stop, no problem. So that's the neighbor. That's your neighbor. The one you see along the way. That's your neighbor. It isn't the one who's right next door to you all the time. But along the wayside, within the church family. Those on the outside whom we seek to win and we befriend and we make connections with and so on. Do what benefits others. And then in faithfulness, we concern ourselves with being gracious. Being gracious. I have a little more difficult time with this, especially if they're fixing things I don't like to eat. I am picky, but I'm getting a little better all the time. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So imagine this, back in Corinth, and they've had their daily sacrifice, and there goes the leftover meat to the market to be sold. Well, just go and buy it and eat it. Don't ask about it, right? That's what Paul is saying. Don't start being a detective. Just go and buy it and enjoy it. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so we accept everything from God's hand. God owns all of it as creator, and he is sovereign over all. And once sold, comes into the meat market and you buy it, doesn't have that connection with what we talked about last week, with the sacrificial feasts and so on that were associated with it. It's just being sold now, so don't ask questions and receive it in terms of the Lord has now supplied this to me. So, we follow the wisdom from above. Don't join in idol sacrifices. I had a conversation with one of the elders of the church that meets after us, and we were discussing how more and more we have to, even in America, be careful about these associations with sacrificial type feasts that non-Christians and other world religions engage with. You know, and he said to me, and he says, I don't do that. I can't do that. And if one of our people are struggling or having trouble, or I tell them, come talk to me. I'll help you deal with it. And it's very important that we get this. So you don't join in idol sacrifices. That's off limits, Paul said, and we dealt with that last time. Leftover meat at the market means that's fine. Don't ask questions. It may or may not be. You don't worry about it. You go, you purchase it, you enjoy it. It's apart from the idol and the sacrifice now. And so don't pry. Don't think that's more spiritual to pry about everything, but rather receive it as a gift from God. In other words, be gracious. And act for the sake of others. Act for the sake of others. You know, an unbeliever you've come to know invites you over for a meal, right? Go. And you may know that he's a pagan and he participates in these things and he's serving you up some stuff. Just be gracious. Don't interrogate the person. Just be gracious. Thank you. And receive it from God through your neighbor. And you are there to be a witness for Christ. However, your humbly receiving it, you're enjoying or about to enjoy, but then what happens? Well, then you're told it was offered to idols. What then? Maybe they're testing you. Maybe whatever the case may be. Oh, and this was part of the leftover from the morning sacrifice. What do? Well, you don't partake. You don't eat it. For their sake. For conscience sake, not yours, we read, but their conscience. At home, alone, with your family, enjoy the host of what God provides. And in the end, you're doing what? You're guarding your testimony before the Lord. So there are certain things about guarding your testimony that we want to be careful of. We don't want our freedom to be slandered. Right? It's where a little humility comes in. Yield rather than argue before unbelievers. And maintain your witness to God's glory. And accept from God, though, everything from His hand. And act for the sake of others. And if you see someone who says, well, no, this meat was sacrificed to idols, then abstain. Don't partake. And then the third area. In faithfulness, we concern ourselves with what honors the Lord. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There's a principle at work here. There's a principle at work here. Honor God in all things. Be pleasing to Him in all respects. And so you have to think about it in every facet of life. How much more mundane can you get than eating and drinking? You do it, you know, with hardly thinking about anything. You know, I don't have to tell myself. In other words, you don't have to train yourself every day, okay, in order to eat this delicious steak, I have to pick up my fork, pick up my knife, and place the fork thusly and slice away. No, it's automatic, really. You see a piece of chicken or whatever, what do? Typically, I don't grab the fork. I grab the chicken with my hands, my fingers, and I begin to consume. Depending on how the chicken is cooked, I may peel off the nice crispy part of it and save it for later, because that's the best part. But in that, whether you eat or drink, everyday thing, do all to the glory of God. Now you might say, oh, Pastor, you're getting ridiculous. And now you're going to pull things out of your hat like, you mean I'm supposed to brush my teeth to the glory of God? You mean I'm supposed to put my clothes on to the glory of God? You know what my answer is? Yes. Because if you're not, what are you doing? Whose glory? Now you might think, that seems a little silly. But it isn't. Why? Because that attitude of, I don't have to do it for these lesser things. And guess what? I get into a habit then of not thinking about honoring the Lord in these lesser things. And pretty soon, guess what takes over? This attitude of, I don't have to consciously do it for the glory of the Lord. And then I don't know what to do over here when I encounter my friend who's serving me and saying, this is meat sacrificed to idols. Because I have a life of practice that ignored doing it for God's glory. That's what we're getting at. That's what Paul is getting at. Make it something so ingrained in your life. When I'm shopping for groceries, do it for God's glory. How do I treat the people in the parking lot? Do I see a cart over here that's out of place? And I go get it and I put it in its little slot so it's out of the way. I think about things. You need to be thinking about things for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. Why do you do this? There's another story behind that, but as I look at the clock, pardon me, I don't want to take too much more time. So from the greatest to the least, right? From the least to the greatest, I establish a pattern of honoring the Lord. And then it gets ingrained in me. And then I begin to do it because God asked me to do it. I do it because God wants me to honor Him. I do it because I want to be pleasing to Him. And I want to have the right attitude. And I want to do it worshipfully because it's a reflection on Him. And I don't know what the cashier is going through. And maybe they're in a bad mood and they're taking it out on you. A quiet answer turns away wrath. Boy, something has really upset you. How can I pray for you? We had a fellow come and find our northern property line, the property pins, the iron pins that are along there. He was supposed to come on Monday and he gave me a call. And he says, I can't come today. I had an emergency, a family emergency come up. How can I pray for you? Yes, please pray for me. It came on Thursday. We were able to talk about it a little bit, and he was very gracious. In fact, he was so gracious, he says, well, what do you think it's worth? I said, I have no idea. And I gave him an amount, and guess what he said? Oh no, that's too much. Now, had we had an adversarial kind of back and forth, guess what? He would have said, no, double that amount. Maybe not. You get what I'm getting at here? For the benefit of others, be thinking of others, be as you interact. You don't know what's going on. Don't make assumptions, but be thinking, I'm going to honor you, Lord, and if this person is hurting, maybe I can ask them how I can pray for them. Maybe they'll rebuff me, I don't know, but be above board with all. So, give no offense to Jews, Greeks, or to the Church of God. That's the three categories of people in the world. We divide people up differently, don't we? Yeah, we do. God divides them up from those who are His, the Jews, and everybody else. That's it. And he says, don't give any offense to any of them. Don't be a stumbling block. And be concerned for the salvation of many. Because you are always a witness. You are always a witness. Do you have children? And you taught them how to do things? Were you impatient? No, this is how you put the toothpaste on. Hey, Dad, can I help you mow the lawn? Sure. And you know what your child does? They grab a hold and they can barely move it. And what are you doing? You know, your legs are a little wider than normal and you're moving slower and you're being considerate of one who's wanting to learn and grow, and you're thinking, I want to honor the Lord in this. I'm supposed to teach my children these things. And I want to do it with a good attitude. Paul made himself, as he talked earlier, a slave to all. He became weak to win the weak. He became all things to all men, not being a people pleaser, but became all things to all men to save some. And he inconvenienced himself for others. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of the many, that they may be saved. And then imitate the Christ-like. Be imitators of me. That's a hard one, isn't it? How often have you told someone in terms of your spiritual life, be an imitator of me, because I imitate Christ. They're going to imitate you. It's just, how are they going to do that? What are you presenting, and so on? So plan for Christ-likeness. I wish I had more time. Remember self-control. Exercise self-control. Refraining from that which will hinder your race and exercising self-control in terms of what will enhance and make your race better in life. So don't coast. Don't press pause. Well, you can't anyway. You want to sometimes. I want to sometimes. Let's see, Lord, where's the pause button? He didn't give me one, and he didn't give you one. But instead, we continue to press play, and we continue to engage, we continue to learn, we continue to grow, and I continue on my course that the Lord has set me upon. As we wrap up our thoughts then for today, Paul wants the church to develop, be developing in common cause and living faithfully. This is just a snippet of what that means. What benefits others? Well, on what builds and our neighbor's good? In being gracious, accepting all things from God's hand and acting for the sake of others. Embracing a little of that humility and be thinking about what honors the Lord in my attitude and behaviors and what I'm thinking about. And so we live above board, seeking the salvation of many and imitating the Christ-like. And so, beloved, we are set free to know Him and to love Him and to serve Him. And as always, to God alone be the glory. Father, thank You for the word of truth. Thank You for the ministry of the Word and for what we learn. And may we grow thereby as we give You the thanks and praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we had a